Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, text number 14 or 15? I think it's 15. Yeah, 15. Kamang Prayahi Jahi Vishravasho Vamehang Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Vira Patning Badnihi Setum Iha Te Yasaso Vitayai Gayanti Digvijayino Yam Upetya Bhupa Kamang Prayahi Jahi Vishravaso Yavimeham. Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatning. Badni hi setum ihate yasa sovitatyai. Gayanti vigvijayino yamupetya bhupa. Kamang prayahi jahi vishravaso vimeham. Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatnim Madnihi Setum Ihate Yasa Sovitatyai Gayanti Digvijayino Yamupetya Bhupa. Kamang prayahi jahi rishravaso vimeham. Trilokya ravanam avapnuhi virapatnim. Madnihi setum ihate yasa sovitatyai. Gayanti digvijayino yamupetya bhupa. Ghamang vrayaya vishvasaso vimeya. Trilokya Ravanam Avapnuhi Virapatnim. Madnihi Setum Ihate Yasa Sovitatyai. Gayanti Digvijayino Yamupetya Bhupa. Gayanti digvijayino yamupetya bhupa. Kamang prayahi jahi vishvasaso vimeham. Trilokya Ravanam Avhavam Vivira Patnim. Mani Nisetu Yanyaya Faso Vitatyaya. Gayanti Digvijayino Yamupetya Bhupa. Matijis. Kamam Prayahi Jahi Vishwasaso Vimeham. Trilokya Ravanam Bhavam Vivira Patnim. Kamam, as you like. Prayahi, you may go over my water. Jahi, just conquer. Vishravasaha, Avishrava Muni. Avamedham, pollution like urine. Trilokya, for the three worlds. Ravanam, the person known as Ravana, the cause of weeping. Avapnuhi, regain. Vira, O great hero. Patnim, your wife. Badnihi, just construct. Setum, a bridge. Iha, here on this water. Te, of your good self. Yasasa, fame. Vitatyai, to expand. Ghayanti, will glorify. Digvijayanaha, great heroes who have conquered all directions. Yam, which bridge? Upetya, coming near. Bhupa, great kings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada K. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here, Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vititatvatah takva deham punar janma naiti mamiti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastra. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Om jnanatamanandasya jnananjana salakaya chakshur militam jena tasmai sri gurave nama mukham krotvacha lang pungun lang hayate garim yat kripa taraham bande shri gurum dinataranam vanchakalpachibhyascha kripa sinubdevacha patitanam pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this pastime is exhibiting the humility of Lord Ramachandra. He's God, he can do whatever he wants. But he did this fast for how many days? 3 days. To appeal to the personification of the ocean to allow him to cross the ocean. So this is an exhibition of his humility. He didn't have to do that. He could have just crossed. No problem. He could walk over. He could fly over. He can just appear there. He could do it however he wants. But he did this austerity. Out of his humility. And Krishna also was very humble. He washed the feet of everybody that went to the Rajasuya Yajna. Very humble. So God is also very humble. So here this verse starts out with the personification of the water. He is saying, you may use my water. You may cross my water. So he's already starting off, that's an illusion. He's thinking that it's his water. Everything belongs to Krishna. Isavasyam idang sarum, yat kinti jagat yam jagat, tena chaktena bunjina magrata kashasvidinam. Everything that exists is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is reality. He's thinking that it's that it's his. But it's nice, he surrendered. Eventually, he wasn't giving in. For 3 days, the Lord fasted. And he wasn't giving in. He wasn't like... So then, Lord Ram, he agitated the ocean. So much so that all the aquatics, they surfaced. You know, it was a big disturbance in the ocean. I don't know if it was all the oceans on the planet or it was just that ocean right there, but they were disturbed, they were agitated, because Lord Ram was not pleased with, I guess, Varuna, right? He's saying here the personification of the ocean, but it didn't mention Varuna. I guess that's who he's referring to. So then finally he saw that all the aquatics are agitated, now I have to surrender. So he did, and he's offering these beautiful prayers. And actually, we're kind of in a similar situation. Krishna comes, he says, Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam saranam, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. But we're also a little stubborn. You know, we don't want to surrender. But some fortunate few surrender, and they understand, actually, this body is yours, God. Please, help me to be an instrument in your hand. Use this body in your service. And the best way to use this body in the service of Krishna is by preaching. Yeah. And when we go out and we're preaching Krishna consciousness, what are we doing? We're trying to destroy the Ravana-like mentality of the people in the world. And at the same time, we're trying to destroy our own. We also sometimes have this Ravana mentality of trying to enjoy the property of Ram, Sita, and the property of Ram. So this service is so important. It's so pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, so pleasing to Krishna, that we use this body. It's his body. Actually, everything belongs to Krishna. So to help people remember this, It's a very nice service. Yeah. Lord Ramachandra is very pleased. Krishna is very pleased. So then he goes on to say, you may go on to the abode of Ravana, who is a great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. So there's so many people in this world that are a source of great disturbance, especially the leaders. You know, the leaders are misleading people. They don't know what's good for the people. They have no idea. Andhayath andarupaniyamanas. They're blind. And if you have a blind leader, you get a problem. Everybody else is going the wrong direction. I remember one time I was in Vrindavan. It was a pretty amazing sight. You've heard of the three blind men? I was in Vrindavan. There was a blind man in the front, a blind man behind him, and another blind man behind him. And the two in the back, they had their hand on the blind. So they're being led by a blind man, you know. Where are they going? I guess maybe he knew Vrindavan better than the others, so he was leading them around. But this is what we have in society. Leaders are completely blind. Don't know what's good for society. So this country and practically all the countries in the world, they're, you know, people are voting for the leaders, and it's a country for the people and by the people. So they're voting for the leaders, but they also don't know what's right. So they don't know who to vote for. We've had a few devotees that ran for office in our society. Unfortunately, they didn't get many votes, but Prabhupada was pleased. He said, those persons who voted for the devotees, they get spiritual benefit. So, I don't know if we'll ever see it in this Kali Yuga where we get a Vaishnava as a leader of a country. But you never know what's going to happen. So, this bridge that Lord Ram made that crossed this ocean, on every stone, there was a name. Ram. Ram was on every stone that was on this ocean. And if the name wasn't on that stone, guess what would happen? it would sink. Yeah, it would go down. So they were floating because of the name of Ram on these stones. So in this age also, this is the process for purification, chanting the names of Krishna. And the more we chant attentively with sincerity and feeling, the more we become elevated in Krishna consciousness, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness. And the more we forget Krishna, we don't chant the holy name with feeling, with sincerity, we sink. So we don't want to sink. We want to rise. We want to rise and rise and rise and go to the lotus feet of Krishna. Samasataya parapalava palava mahapuram punya somarari bhavambhir vatsa paramparam paramparam yadvi param natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna as one's shelter, who is also the shelter of this entire creation, for such a person, this entire ocean of material existence, it's a big ocean, becomes no bigger than the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So easy to cross, right? So if we just take shelter of Krishna, it becomes very easy to cross this ocean. This ocean that Lord Rama's crossing, that's very small. It's from Sri Lanka to India. Not very big. But we're trying to cross over the vast ocean of material existence. Very big. But if we surrender to Krishna, it becomes very small, very easy. Katanchana smate yasmen duskuram sukuram bhavet vishmate vitaritang shat shi chaitanya namamitam. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he says, if you remember Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very difficult things become very easy. But if you forget Lord Chaitanya, then very easy things become very difficult. So we have to remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to remember Krishna. And then we get purified. It's not easy. When I joined the movement, I had no idea I was entering such a difficult path. It's a nice path. It's a glorious. I mean, even while we're attempting to become pure devotees, it's nice. You know, we have nice association, nice prasadam, nice service. But it's a big challenge, you know, to become a pure devotee. But Krishna says, Machchita sarvadagani mat prasada tarishasi. He says, if you just become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to pure devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So we have to hear again and again and again and again. And the more we hear, the more the garbage gets removed. What we're doing, what we've entered into, is we're doing a renovation of the heart. We're renovating the heart. You know, when they renovate a building, what do they call it when they renovate a building? They call it gutting. Gutting the building. Just taking everything out of the building. They just leave the structure. They leave the walls and, you know, that's it. They just take everything out. So that's what we're trying to do. Just take all the garbage out, all the material desires, all the envy, all the contamination, so that there's just one thing left, the desire to serve Krishna. So this is the goal. And it's possible. We were there at one time. We were just desiring to serve Krishna. So we can attain that stage again by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. Nirdeham nadyang sulabang sadurlabam plavam sukapam guru karnadharam. That this boat, or this body, is a great gift given to us by Krishna. How many species of life are there? 8,400,000. So many different species of life. 400,000 in the human form. So this human form of life is meant to cross over this ocean. It's a boat. It's meant to help us cross over the ocean of material existence. And who's the captain? Who's the captain? Who's the captain? The spiritual master is the captain of the boat. You may be in the ocean, but if you have a boat in the ocean, you don't have a captain. It can't be navigated. You don't know which way to go. And therefore, the captains, they have these guider counters. They know which way is north, which way is south, east, west. They know which way to go. You don't have a captain. You're in trouble. You can just be going in circles and never get to where you want to go. So the captain, you have the boat, and then the favorable winds. What are the favorable winds? The Vedas, yes. This helps us. You know, if you're out in the ocean, you have a captain, you have a boat, but no wind, no engine, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to sit there. So the favorable winds are these Vedic literatures. So we have to hear again and again and again. This helps us. This pushes us. This pushes us towards Krishna. You know, and we have to follow the order of the spiritual master. Yeah. This is one of the offenses, to disobey the order of the spiritual master. So, fortunately here, this is the personification of the ocean, Varuna. He surrendered, and Lord Ram was very pleased, and they were able to bring these stones across, floating, which is pretty amazing. I've seen, maybe some of you have seen, they have this, there was some picture from, what is it, from satellite, where they saw this bridge from Sri Lanka to India. Anybody seen that? It's pretty amazing. And scientists are trying, well, what is that? They're trying to figure out, what is that? So maybe there were pretty big stones that you know, the name of Ram kind of rubbed off and they sank or something. So this is the potency of Lord Ram, that he could just make these stones float like this. So on this boat that we're trying to use, this body, to cross over this ocean of material existence, we all have a problem. Maybe not all of us, most of us, I don't want to say all of us, but there's pirates on the boat. And what are those pirates? Kam arinam katina katita palita dorni desas tesam jata mayina kurunana trapa no pashanti. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness, these are the pirates that are on the boat. Now, when a pirate steals a boat, what do? They try to redirect it. They steal the boat. You know? There's modern pirates right now. They come up with a little boat, and they throw an anchor on the boat, and they climb up there, and they take a big ocean liner. It's amazing. It's still a problem. So they steal the boat. They try to get some money for it, or they just take the goods or something. So they redirect the boat. So this is what Maya tries to do, redirect us. We're trying to go to Krishna. We're so fortunate. We're all so fortunate because we're in this movement trying to go to Krishna. But we have to be so careful, yeah, because these pirates are trying to redirect us, take us in the wrong direction. And a lot of, you know, these pirates have been successful. A lot of devotees have left, you know, because of not taking the direction of Krishna, not listening to Krishna, but listening to the mind. And that's where these pirates work. These subtle pirates, they work through the mind, and they, you know, they try to redirect us. We can't listen to the mind. We have to listen to Krishna. So if we're hearing and chanting very attentively, this nurtures our intelligence. This nurtures our intelligence to keep the mind down. This is what keeps the mind down. There's a hierarchy. There's a gross matter. There's the senses. There's the mind. There's the intelligence. There's the soul. There's the supreme soul. So with the intelligence, we have to keep the mind down. And then we'll be able to make nice advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I wanted to mention something. Tomorrow is Lord Ram's or excuse me, Lord Balaram. Oh, that's another Ram. Lord Balaram's appearance day. There was a conversation between two sannyasis about whether Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra refers to Balaram or to Lord Ram. So it became a big discussion. So they thought, well, let's bring it to Prabhupada. You know, we're not coming to a result here. They didn't agree with each other. So Prabhupada said, either one, they're absolute. Either you think of them as Ramachandra or Balaram, either, because they're Vishnu Tattva, absolute. There was another interesting conversation between Yamuna Devi and Madhudvisa. And she was saying, you know, there's in the Nectar of Instruction, it's stated that the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is color. But she was saying, Yamunadeva was saying to Madhudvisa, actually there's a difference. There's more of a difference. Krishna's the only beloved of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's the only one that wears he carries the peacock feather. I guess he's a better dancer. Yeah. So there's a difference. So they were discussing, and then Tamal Krishnamars, he heard this discussion, and he was also, yeah, looks like there's a good point there. So he took it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was there. And he said, Prabhupada, you know, in the Nectar of Devotion, it says that the only difference between Balaram and Krishna is the color. But Yamuna Devi and Madhudvisa, they're having this discussion, and she's pointing out that actually there is some more differences. You know, Krishna's the only beloved of Srimati Radharani. Is that true, Prabhupada? I said, yes. But Prabhupada, but it says in the Nectar of Devotion, the only difference is the color. So how can they both be right? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, you decide. That was it. So interesting little conversation there. So tomorrow's a very big day, appearance of Lord Ram. And it's not a day that we should just try to enjoy the feast, but we should try to do some service for Lord Balaram. I remember in Miami, back in the old days, all the devotees would buy a container of honey. And at greeting the deities on Lord Balaram's appearance day, there'd be about 20 jars of honey there. Because we all know Lord Balaram liked honey. He liked to get intoxicated. And it's even mentioned in the Nectar Devotion also about intoxication. That Lord Balaram, he shouted at the king of the ants, oh, you king of the ants, why are you hiding in that hole? And then he said to Lord Indra, you plaything of Sachi, give me back my honey. Don't you know I can destroy the whole universe and Krishna won't get mad at me? Don't you know who I am? Yeah. So he would get intoxicated. Then it goes on to say that then Balaram, he would go and he would lay down. And then Prabhupada mentioned that a gentleman, when he's intoxicated, he will lay down. But someone who's not a gentleman, he'll just go on saying nonsense and doing nonsense. So, any questions or comments on the class? One other thing I wanted to say is that this process of Krishna consciousness is so important that we should really take it to heart. Really take it to heart. And that also will keep down the mind. You know. This will keep down the speculation and things like that. So, is there any question or comment? Yes. Brigapati Prabhu, the microphone is coming.
Thank you, Prabhu, for nice classes, as usual.
Thank you.
I actually have a question about something that was said yesterday.
Okay.
Is that all right or no?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, when we're chanting the Guruvastikam prayer, which is, you know, Samsara Dhavanam.
Yeah.
That song was composed about, I don't know, a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was 17th century, I believe.
Yeah.
So back in the old days, when they were chanting that song, because I guess he, you know, I mean, he wrote it way back then. Who were they chanting it to at that point?
Well, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, his spiritual master was Radha Raman Chakravarti. So my understanding is that he had such affection for his spiritual master. He had so much gratitude for his spiritual master, and he was a scholar. He was a writer. He wrote many books.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote this out of gratitude to his spiritual master, and it was such a beautiful song that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, eventually, as this temple's grew and grew, he established that. As far as I know, if anybody knows better, as far as I know, then he established that every morning at Mangala Arati to chant that. So of course his disciples were chanting that, you know, thinking of him, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So it's not a Prabhupada song. It's for, if you have a spiritual master, just like here on the altar, we're not just chanting to Prabhupada. There's a parampara up there. And this morning we had Krishna Namacharya leading or offering the Mangala Arati, and there was a picture of Radha Swami up there. So this song is for one spiritual master. You're meditating on your spiritual master. Now this one, we're chanting to Prabhupada, Guru Puja, the Guru Vandana. We're all offering, all of us are offering flowers to Prabhupada. And we're all focused on Prabhupada. So this is an artik which is just for Prabhupada. And what's interesting is previously, there was no Guru Puja. Guru Puja would be once a year. But Prabhupada established this because we're not used to having a guru disciple, so he wanted it to be very firm, you know, this guru disciple relationship. So he established that every day, Guru Puja. In India, I don't know of any place, as far as I know, I've heard from senior devotees that there's no place that does it every day. But Prabhupada wanted that instilled in us, so for our purification and for our understanding that we are servants of the spiritual master.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Prabhu, you said in India they don't offer Guru Puja every day?
That's what I understand. Each senior devotees have told me that.
Well, that might not be true.
Yeah, I'm saying, I just heard that.
In Vrindavan, every single day there's a huge Guru Puja for Prabhupada.
No, Prabhu. I'm saying in other, before Prabhupada.
Oh, before that.
Before
time.
Prabhupada.
Oh, that's, I'm sure you're probably right.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of difference of opinion.
Okay.
you know, we're not living at the time of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Right.
And although Srila Prabhupada may not be one's Diksha Guru, he is a Shiksha Guru for the whole movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I find it to be a deviation that we don't do things that we did ordinarily when Prabhupada was on the planet. And that now we think that we don't need to do that because Prabhupada's not physically present. That we don't need to chant Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. We do see by simply by historical example that practically all the spiritual masters who were, you know, who became spiritual masters after Srila Prabhupada, practically all of them fell down. And so it just seems to be obvious to me that we wouldn't want to not do something we did when Prabhupada was here, when Prabhupada is the spiritual master of everyone. And we know Prabhupada's stature as a samstapakarya guru. And, you know, to give the example that, well, Srila Prabhupada didn't offer pranam mantras to his spiritual master, you know, at certain times. I don't think we can really compare ourselves to Srila Prabhupada in that respect, comparing Srila Prabhupada's position and our position.
Savas Prabhu would like to say something.
I agree with Manavata Prabhu. Using that Chakravarti example, I think it's okay in one circumstance, but you have to understand, we didn't know anything about nothing before Srila Prabhupada came. So when Prabhupada introduced his song, he specifically introduced it for himself. I don't think he expected us to be thinking.
Oh yeah, I didn't say anything about the
yeah, but I'm just saying, so you know, how, who, or what should be thinking about when we're chanting this prayer? It's to Srila Prabhupada. That's who that prayer is for. Srila Prabhupada. He's the Acharya.
So yeah. Give it to Brigapati wants to say. Give it to Brigapati, please.
Well, my point, I'll finish, then you can say. My point is that he is the Acharya.
Of course.
So and he's also the Shiksha of everyone. So even if one is not a direct initiate of Srila Prabhupada, he's still praying to Prabhupada as the Shiksha Guru.
Of course.
Yes, so...
I didn't say it.
I don't understand how you can say that when a disciple is here chanting that prayer, he's chanting it to his particular spiritual master.
So should they not think of their spiritual master when they're offering these prayers?
According to GBC, that's not true.
You're saying the GBC should not think of their spiritual master when they're saying the Guru Vashtika?
Well, my understanding was different. I'm not sure where you got your understanding from that at. I mean, I don't know where you got that from.
Well, I didn't know. Is there a law like that? You're mentioning?
No, but
is that like an ISKCON law? Or,
has been said, because of what Bhanavata Prabhu mentioned, is there's been a lot of gurus that have fallen. So here you have five or six or seven disciples that are initiated by a regular guru in ISKCON, and they're chanting their spiritual master. Then he's not there anymore. Then who is he chanted to? In other words, if there have been many regular gurus that have looked from Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
So who do they chant?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, well, who do they chant that prayer to?
Obviously, after they blooped, then you've chanted to Prabhupada.
Okay, so that's why the GBC wanted all of us just to chant to Srila Prabhupada, because of that situation happening. Prabhupada's the Acharya. He started this ISKCON movement. So even if you're not initiated by him, you're still chanting that. Even the GBC said when a disciple offers their pranams, they should say to Prabhupada and their guru. Not just to their guru, but also to Srila Prabhupada. Why did they say that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
So, when they're chanting the prayers in the morning, it's to Srila Prabhupada, far as I understand.
Okay.
I can research that a little bit more.
Yeah, we can research. We should do some investigation, find out.
And the point being is, yes, your guru could bloop. And if he's blooped, then what do you do?
Yeah. You go to Prabhupada.
Go to Srila Prabhupada.
Of course. So, Brigapati Prabhu wants to say something?
I'm okay with that. So you mentioned Bhakti Siddhanta Raj, he introduced this in the Gaudiya Math.
Yes.
So when his disciples, when the people in his organization, which were all his disciples, were singing it, obviously they were singing it to him.
Right.
And Prabhupada gave us the same song. So and at that time we were only Prabhupada disciples, and we were all singing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, if the next generation of disciples, when all of us are gone, and you know the organization is like run by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and their disciples there's no Prabhupada disciples anymore, and the room is full with disciples of Srila Prabhupada, some of whom hopefully will not have blooped and will still be with us, when they're chanting that prayer, they're supposed to be thinking of Prabhupada? Is it? Okay. At that time. Okay. I'm just asking questions. Okay. So basically we have two Srila Prabhupada Guru Pujas. Because the Mangalarti is a worship of the Samstapak Acharya, you know, singing that song, and then
Guru Vandana.
Guru Vandana. So we have basically two Srila Prabhupada Guru Pujas. One at Mangalarti time and... My thing is, I don't want to come off as somebody who's kind of, I don't know one way or the other, to be honest with you. I mean, and I don't feel stupid saying that, because, and I'll tell you, whatever the GBC, whatever the big Shastric authorities and, you know, pundits decide, I just want to do the right thing. But I'm just trying to, Yeah, because I can't ever remember, like, you know, I listen to Prabhupada lectures day and night, and I never heard Prabhupada kind of talk about this one way or the other. So I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever you guys say is the right thing to do, I'll do it.
No, as far as the pronouns of Prabhupada, that goes without saying. Well, I think...
I don't understand what the difficulty is. It's been going on for 50 years. So all of a sudden, we want to change it? In other words, suddenly we're going to say, okay, don't do that, don't do this, don't say Nama Om. I mean, what for?
No, I'm completely for chanting the pranam mantra to Prabhupada,
well,
of course.
That's out in the ether also, you know, let's face it.
Huh?
It's in the ether. Everybody knows it's out there. Everybody knows what's going on. There's nobody in the here. Everybody knows that.
So, but my only question would be, the disciple has a spiritual master. I mean, he could... we should investigate. Should he be thinking of Prabhupada or his spiritual master?
Why, will he be in Maya if he's singing
it?
It
wouldn't
Prabhupada?
Be in Maya, but he wants to establish a relationship. It's kind of like it's personalism. He has a guru, so he's thinking of his spiritual master.
Sure, and there's other ways of doing that. He's saying his pranams every day to his guru. Every time he bows down, he can say his pranams to his guru 10 times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At least. He can go into his own home and have an altar and chant that prayer to his spiritual master.
Uh-huh.
This is a public forum here. This is the temple that Srila Prabhupada established. If you go into your own home, you have a picture, a deity of your guru, hey, listen, invite all your other god brothers and sisters there and have a big bash. Chant for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be good, no problem. But here when you're in the temple room, this is Srila Prabhupada's.
Yeah, pranam mantra, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so
there was one devotee, one senior devotee that didn't chant the pranam mantra at Mangal Arati. And I was like, I felt so bad. The Prabhupada, they didn't chant it at Mangal Arati.
Yeah.
So I went to him and said, Prabhu, you didn't chant the pranam mantra.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's so many gurus. And I said, well, but Prabhupada, he's the founder of Acharya for our whole society for thousands of years. So he accepted that. And from then on, he started chanting the pranam mantra.
And I recall also when we had the 11 gurus in ISKCON, at one particular point when that particular guru would come to a temple to visit, then we would have Mangal Arati and we would be chanting to that particular guru. And we would ignore Srila Prabhupada. That happened for years.
Wow.
For years that happened. And then we had so many of them fall down.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to be very careful. Why do we need to change anything? Leave it as it is and just be happy in Krishna consciousness.
No, I didn't say change anything. I'm just saying about the subtlety of who the disciple should think of when he's chanting those prayers. So we should investigate.
Think of Prabhupada.
Yeah. Prabhupada, but why not the spiritual master? I mean, he's trying to...
Okay, then, you know, I'm not...
What about both?
Okay, I'm not going to tell anybody. I think that question is actually pretty, you know, it's like a relative question to me. I mean, It's neither here or there. I mean, if the disciples want us to do that secretly in their heart or whatever, fine. I'm not going to tell them don't.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to grab somebody by their kurta and throw them out the door.
So we got a good balance now.
Because they're thinking of their spiritual master.
Good.
But I'm just saying publicly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Publicly,
exactly.
This is what's established.
That's a law. That's an ISKCON law.
Exactly.
It's just Prabhupada publicly, of course.
This is what it should be.
Yes. Okay, so we got a proper balance now.
All of us Prabhupada disciples are dead and buried. God bless you.
I'm sure it's going to continue as it's going on now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.